you guys are listening to the review of WWE's SummerSlam 2018. I am Patrick. With me, Evan Weston and Dustin Hales. We just finished watching the biggest party of the summer, SummerSlam, from Brooklyn, New York. Guys, before we start breaking down these matches, just what mood are you guys in?
Like, happy shock. If that is even a mood, I guess. But,
You know, when you're, and anyone in a job that they enjoy is constantly in a state of anxiety. Oh, am I not doing a good job? Am I going to be able to keep this? Which is why, of course, happiness is fleeting. But then you get told you're doing well, or you get a promotion. That's the kind of feeling I feel right now.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
A lot of anxiety has been released for me. And I'll be straight up. The last 4 months of WWE since WrestleMania have been some of the worst television that they've put on in their history. Like new generation era, early 2010s level bad. Just atrocious. Raw in particular has been as unwatchable as it's been in a long time. And a lot of that was because at WrestleMania, they took what they were doing and just chopped the balls off of it, right? So everything stopped. And then they took all the best wrestlers and put them on SmackDown. So you had both of those things happen, and the whole show just went inert. And tonight, it feels like finally something happened. That's all that WWE needs to be good. You know, everybody gets mad about, oh, well, this guy didn't do this, or this guy's doing that, or this guy's being shoved down my throat. But all that anybody ever really wants is to be told a story. That's the only thing, reason we watch this, is to, at least it's why I watch it. I won't speak for anybody else, but like to me, it's just, you know, I just want to be told a story. I want to be given a narrative that's satisfying and interesting and either makes me learn something or, better yet, makes me feel something. That's what I want to do. And tonight it felt like in so many of the matches, not just Roman Reigns winning the championship, although obviously there's really no reason you'd be listening to the show if you're not a Roman Reigns fan. but you know, it was just a wonderful night for progressing stories. And yeah, of course the headline is that my dude won the belt, and I'm thrilled about that. But in almost, not all, but almost every match, We got something happened and it felt like an important night, and WWE's really needed one of those for a long time. So very, very happy with this and relieved that I can, you know, what's cool about it too, Dustin, I'll let you go in a minute. I'm sorry, I'm rambling a little bit here, but like, you know, during this interregnum, I've discovered a lot of other great wrestling out there, and I really encourage everybody to do that, because frankly, the in-ring product is there's so much more you can do in the ring than the WWE style. I love the WWE style, but there's so many different styles you can expose yourself to. And I've discovered guys, you know, I never really watched indie wrestling before, and I've discovered guys like Walter in WXW, who is now the champion of three different promotions because he's such an attraction. Or in New Japan Pro Wrestling, a guy like Kota Ibushi, who just takes you on an absolute thrill ride, or you know, an indie guy like David Starr, who can play any role and can tell any story, either there's the fiery babyface or a cocky heel. There's so many great wrestlers out there doing really interesting things and places telling really interesting stories. I'm glad that I was able to discover that. But I'm also glad that I can keep watching and enjoying those shows and feel pretty good about where the WWE is at creatively as well. So really happy night. Happy to be doing this show again. Good vibes. This will be a positive podcast.
Well, let's go ahead and get started with the main event of the evening. In a little over 6 minutes, Roman Reigns defeats the guy, Brock Lesnar, to win the Universal Championship.
God, that's incredible. I can't believe you actually said that.
Yeah. Yeah, you said it. It actually happened. Now, let's get the negatives out of the way, because this wasn't perfect. I thought it was
I'm curious what your negatives are, yeah.
I thought Brock was overprotected. They brought Braun out to psych out the crowd, which I thought was brilliant. Yes. I got mad when it happened because I figured Braun was walking out with the belt. But when he said he was going to wait, I was intrigued. And I think the crowd was too. Now, they got their shots in. They were always going to. When Brock went to the suplexes, they got to scream, you know, you both suck or whatever. But they really were hooked by this. And Braun coming out was the reason why. Because let's face it, some of the other matches that were great tonight did not get the response from the crowd that they deserved and that I wanted to give them watching them. And I think that's because this crowd showed up to shit on this match. This is the worst crowd that WWE presents itself in front of every single year. They are consistently awful. They were awful for NXT last night. They were largely awful tonight, although there was one moment where I loved them, and we'll get to that. But they were hooked by this. They got pretty badly worked, and I'm crediting the decision to bring Braun out. Now, that said, this was all done to protect Brock Lesnar, and I thought that was a mistake. Vince just has a habitual need to cave to this guy, and I don't get it. I don't get why, in an age where he has worked so hard to make his brand invulnerable to the demands of wrestlers, why he keeps going back to the 1980s for this dude. He's not that special. You have an MMA star who was a bigger star than Brock Lesnar as your women's champion.
Yeah.
So what's the point? He's redundant. So, but what we did here was Roman won the championship because Brock was distracted by Braun Strowman. Now, this also kind of hurt Braun Strowman because he talks a big game about not being a coward, and then he's going to wait to pick the bones after the two of them go to war? Huh? Really? Why don't you make it a triple threat if you're such a big man? You know? And then, of course, he gets his ass kicked anyway, but I've turned pretty hard on Braun. I was pretty happy about it. But Braun didn't come out of this looking very good. Now, they can always reheat him pretty quickly. He kind of got hurt by this. But to me, Roman is fine because he won the belt. That's what the big positives here. And you know what? The two of them, you know, because they kept it short and they kept it hard hitting, actually had a good outing. Obviously, it wasn't recreating their WrestleMania magic. They were never going to do that with this version of Brock Lesnar and in front of this crowd. But I enjoyed this match much more than I enjoyed the WrestleMania match, which I thought was garbage, or the Greatest Royal Rumble match, which was sort of a non-event. I thought this was very good. I loved Roman's flurry to open. I actually really liked Brock's submission in the middle. I thought that was a great way for him, and his selling after he got up from that I thought was very good. His beatdown of Braun was hilarious when he threw the case. And Roman's reaction to winning was
laughed hysterically when he tucked that case.
The smile, the look of shock that he actually did it. Let's not forget Brock kicking out at three, pulling a Hogan on Warrior at the end there. But who cares? You know, who gives a shit? It doesn't matter. They pulled the trigger and they did the right thing. And at the end of the day, with Vince McMahon, sometimes that's all you can ask.
No, I agree. Like, most everything, we're on the same page on this and everything that kind of occurred. The couple negatives that I had, and here's the thing, the negatives are, they're pretty much wiped away because Roman Reigns won the title.
Right, exactly.
That's what I've been waiting for. And I completely agree with you that they overprotected Brock in that match, definitely. But I never felt that was ever going to not be the case, first of all. But then the other thing is, they've already hurt Roman enough over the past, you know, in the previous months and the things that happened at Mania, that it didn't hurt Roman anymore. He won the title. It just makes, you know, that... To me, that's completely irrelevant because he finally won. He did it. He's got the title now. But the other thing I was going to say is they built up Braun huge, and I thought it was odd. I kind of felt I felt the same way as you. Like, I thought it was odd that – here's the thing. The Braun promo was great in the sense of building him up.
It was a good promo,
and then, and then he was like, now I'll wait for y'all to – I was like, I thought he was going to put himself in the triple threat.
Well, actually, when he – decided that he wasn't going to cash in right then and there, I thought it became fairly clear that he wasn't leaving with the title and that Reigns was going to win. And then, I mean, of course, I didn't believe it until they counted three because I got burned so badly at WrestleMania, which, you know what, might have been the point. But it was transparent what they were doing with Braun. But the thing is with Braun Strowman, he's such an easy character to heat back up that I don't really feel any sympathy for him. Like, yeah, that probably would hurt a normal wrestler, but Braun has a cheat code. So it's like, who cares? You know?
Yeah, no, and I agree with you with that. The biggest...
plus, they're probably going to have a Hell in a Cell match next month.
Yeah.
So get ready for that, because that's going to
be... I know. This is just a tiny critique, too, at the end, but... The whole time I'm thinking throughout this match, I'm thinking whoever wins this, and maybe this is on a flaw on my part in just like going ahead and assuming this. But I thought immediately after, even with the beatdown and Brock tossing the case, I just assumed that there was going to be Braun was still going to cash in.
No, I could tell when Brock hit him with the F5. That this was being done to remove Braun after they had introduced him to win the crowd so that Roman could win the title. Like, I thought once Braun decided he wasn't cashing in, that it was very transparent what was going to happen.
No, and you could just see through the stuff clearer than I could, because in my head I was thinking, oh, they're just
putting... Well, you were marking big time, too. You were trying to prevent yourself from getting excited. So
yes, exactly.
That's totally understandable. I mean, no one's gonna hit you for that.
But exactly.
But
from my perspective on that, I was thinking from the beatdown, I was going, "Oh, okay, they're trying to make it look like whoever wins this, Braun has just gotten as much of a beatdown as them, so it's like, so it's a more fair match, I guess." But ultimately, okay, about the match generally. I liked it. I thought it was a really fun match. It's what it needed to be. I don't feel like there were like really any. It's what that match needs to be. It didn't need to be over 10 minutes. It needed to be a bunch of power moves with, you know, I agree with you. I loved Brock catching him in the submission there in the middle.
Everything they got wrong at WrestleMania with the match itself, they got right tonight.
Yeah, the opening was awesome. Like Devin and I were sitting there, and we were like, "Oh my god!" Like,
I thought he was going to win with the three spears. I bit, and then he caught him in the guillotine, and I freaked out because I thought Roman was going to tap or pass out, and that was going to be the end.
I thought the same thing.
That was the moment where I was really terrified, and then when he got out of the second one, and they got Braun involved, that's when I started to be like, "Oh, they're going to take Braun out, and Roman's going to win the title." But yeah, it was one of those moments where Vince shoots himself in the foot over and over and over again to the point where it's fallen off of his leg, and then when you think he can't walk anymore, he pulls out a prosthetic out of his back pocket. You know? That's what he did it the first Roman Brock match. And I still think he's a goddamn coward for having Rollins cash in there. And I think we all would have been better off if Roman had just won. That said, 3.5 years later, it's finally over.
Listen, don't go speaking for everyone on that whole Rollins shouldn't have cashed in, okay?
I'm just saying my opinion. It's finally over.
That's what I feel. God. It's like, oh. Finally.
My question, though, is it over? Now, okay, people have accused me of being a psychopath for this, but of course, I listen to Well, I watch WWE shows all on mute, as I do with most of wrestling. So, how was the fan reaction to Roman tonight?
They popped for the title change.
I actually think it was better than... I think it's actually gotten increasingly better since WrestleMania.
They had two Raws in Florida after he beat Lashley. And, hell yeah, as a native Floridian now, having lived here for 3 years, Florida loves Roman Reigns. So that helped. But, like, the crowd booed him when he came out, and they got their licks in during the match. You knew they were going to. But this was a much more positive reception than we're used to with him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I agree on that.
And it very much looks like Braun is going to be his first feud. I can't really see anybody else being his first feud. McIntyre is likely still going to be tied up with Rollins and Ambrose. Lashley didn't even show his face tonight. I'm trying to think of who else it could be. When Ambrose turns heel, that'll happen. But to me, Roman versus Braun, Hell in a Cell is the match.
Yeah.
So that allows, right, it's a face versus face feud. So I think they're in a good spot with Roman now. Now, that is a credit to Roman as a performer, that anybody could overcome what happened to him at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that was.
That's an execution. But, you know, all of the stuff, all of the bullshit that they've made him go through in the last 3.5 years, that even some people are still fans of his, is an enormous credit to him as a performer, and why I think he's one of the best in the world.
You say that, sure. All right, so let's see how Roman does. You know, I mean, if he can do better than Kevin Nash did as Diesel, I'll be a happy man.
He'll make more money than Kevin Nash did because the brand is bulletproof.
Fine. We knew that the Lesnar was going to lose the title at some point, right? I mean, he's got a fight coming up in a few months. So, do you guys think Lesnar comes back at all?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, I definitely think he does.
I really hope Cormier hands him his ass on a platter.
Hey, listen. Hey, we don't talk about pieces of crap on my show, so.
Oh, wow. You got a problem with Daniel Cormier?
Well, as much as I do about garbage.
Wow.
You got a problem with Alexa Bliss?
Oh, no.
Dustin, I'm going to see you in 3 months.
What fantastic banter.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
The bottom line is this, is Roman Reigns is going to do his thing. If he can just make me believe, then I'll be happy.
You know what? He's going to go out there and he's going to have great matches. And that's all, you know, he's going to defend the title and he's going to have great matches. And now they've set him up as a workhorse champion. So he pretty much has to.
Patrick, what? For Roman Reigns in particular, what is it about him being champion you're worried about?
Well, it's not necessarily about him being champion. It's just, look, when he talks, when I look at his face, I don't believe him. I don't. I'm like, immediately I'm turned off. I'm like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, talking about. He's got no clue. So as soon as I hear him talk and I see his face, you know, as handsome as many people may say he is, whatever. It's not the point. It's just the facial expression. I don't believe he is the big dog. I just don't. So, I mean, he can have great matches. Look, a lot of people can have great matches, but to me, he just doesn't do it for me. Not necessarily in ring, but in the overall. And so that's why I'm not on the big dog bandwagon.
Okay.
The funny thing about that is, and we've actually had this conversation before, Patrick, I believe so. And I'm not trying, it's not me taking a shot. I don't feel the same way. I understand. Like, Daniel Bryan, I don't think he's very good at talking either. Like, he has his good moments on occasion, but I kind of feel Daniel Bryan has, in a way, the same kind of, doesn't really know, like, when he's in the ring, I believe him more than when he talks. And when he talks, he kind of takes it out for me a little more, if that makes sense.
Well, it totally makes sense. And I can see that from the perspective. But also, I think in some regards, I mean, you may disagree with me, I'm not sure. But Daniel Bryan does not get the mic time that Roman Reigns does.
Of course he does. Don't be ridiculous.
I'm totally ridiculous. But that's besides the point.
Interview video package last week. He gets to main event SmackDown all the time with promo segments. Come on. When they give Roman a mic, they just make him recap the plot.
The thing for me and I think where the difference will always be in terms of especially their talking, mic skills and everything, is because Daniel Bryan comes from the independent scene and because he rose to become a star, kind of, you know, it feels more organic. When he speaks, everybody feels more, oh, he's coming from it from an organic, natural point. And when Roman speaks, people are thinking, oh, it's manufactured.
Well, from a presentation standpoint, I actually understand that. I think Roman's push has been the whole way. I am into him because I think he's such a phenomenal performer that he transcends what they give him. Very rarely is he given good material. So if you want to call him phony, like, his push is phony. I totally get that.
I mean, the business is phony, but that's besides the point.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, from a creative standpoint, Daniel Bryan does feel organic. Roman Reigns doesn't. Like, I get that. I think you're both wrong. I love them both, and I refuse to fight over them because they're both incredible.
The thing is, for me, is with Daniel Bryan, he comes from an underdog place, right? So that's just the way I see it. So he's going to be flawed. Now, you present me Roman Reigns, the big dog, you know, the top guy, and I see flaw, and I see someone I can get behind because I don't believe what he's selling. Where with Daniel Bryan, because of the underdog persona, is more likely to be imperfect, and I can get behind that. It's more natural versus with Reigns. For me, it isn't.
No, that's how a lot of people feel. It's a presentation thing. I think Bryan is largely presented in a better light than Reigns is. I think that's you have opinions that baffle me all the time, Patrick. But that one I actually get.
No, and I understand his point of view too. And by the way, I like Daniel Bryan too. I don't have a problem with Daniel Bryan.
He's one of the greatest of all time.
But I'm a bigger fan. Like, if you know me, like, John Cena and Roman Reigns, like, two of my all time favorites, because I'm a fan of the Ace.
Yeah.
Like, that's just me. That's just me as a fan. That takes nothing away from any other wrestler. That's just what I like. I feel those guys as having the ace quality.
There's a magnetism to them.
Yeah.
And that's why, to me, I think Vince is bad at a lot of things. I think he's awful at pushing a top babyface, which we will talk about later tonight, because there's a certain match where he got something very, very wrong tonight.
Yes, I know. I think I know what you're talking about.
But he does sense that magnetism in somebody very well. And he got it with John, and he got it with Roman. Sometimes he misses. You know, he wanted it to be Randy, and it wasn't Randy. I think Hunter wanted it to be Hunter, and well, but Roman has that, and that's you know, it's not just the look. You know, there's something else there. There's a confidence. There's a swagger. There's a way he carries himself that I think is very appealing to a lot of people, and to people who, I mean, you know, and we got to hold up a mirror here. The kind of people that, you know, spend their free time talking about wrestling with strangers online. You know, maybe you don't like that because that's not you. It's certainly not me, but I don't know. Something about him is very appealing. And look, my dude won the belt tonight, so y'all can't take me down.
Hey, I'm just happy that he won and we're able to do this podcast with joy. If we go back to WrestleMania.
The WrestleMania podcast was dark. That went to some dark places.
So let's go ahead and move on, though. Let's go ahead and talk about the four-minute match where Ronda Rousey defeats Alexa Bliss to become the Raw Women's Champion. Of course, by her side, her friend Natalia, wearing her dad's jacket, who passed away earlier this week.
That was a nice moment.
Yeah, I like that too.
And that was a nice clue that we were getting exactly what we got.
Yep. No, but for this match in particular, I loved it. First of all, I think tonight we got it. Believe me, because we're going to talk about several matches like this. But I always like when there's squashes thrown in. You need those every once in a while.
I'm just going to show this long.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. But Ronda, I literally looked over at Devin. Like, they were standing in the ring, and it was panning to Ronda, and I was like, oh my God, Ronda looks like she's going to kill her, and it looks like Alexa doesn't have a chance. And I think that was kind of the whole point. Man, I was super – here's the thing. Like, you got Roman Reigns, and then like, I love Ronda Rousey too. Like, she has, like – she has taken WWE by storm, and she's done incredible for being, you know.
She has. She's been super protected. But yeah, she kicks ass.
But here's the thing about her. Like, I was telling Devin during the match stuff, I was like, she's just one of those people. You can tell. When she's in the ring, like, she works harder than anybody else. Like, you can tell. Like, when she focuses her mind on something, like, she's going to want to try to be the best women's wrestler in the world.
Well, I mean, when you look at her fight career or her judo career, I mean, when people are like, oh, well, she's just going to waltz in, it's like, you know, she built her name, right?
Yeah.
So.
No, but it was a match. I really liked it. I was thrilled that Ronda won, and I'm very curious to see. I thought at the end, but because of Natalya and the Jim Neidhart stuff, I knew probably wasn't going to happen. But I was thinking they might set up like the Nikki match right there, where Nikki attacked Ronda or something. But
they got time for that.
But I wasn't disappointed or anything. I just thought that was something that might have occurred. But no, I really liked the match a lot. I thought Ronda looked really good. And in a way, in a weird way, even though, like, I don't really think it hurts Alexa at all, really. I mean, maybe in some manner it does.
It
but
does, because she's not, you know, she's not built as a great wrestler. So if she and Ronda were ever going to have a straight one-on-one match, that was always going to be the result.
Yeah.
Hey, Patrick. Patrick, I gotta level with you, bro. My match review for this is two words long. Are you ready?
I'm afraid you're going to be disappointed because I'm not a... But go ahead.
Ooh. There's my match review. Hope you enjoyed it.
I'm an American, Evan. I speak English here. So I don't know what you were saying. But listen, let me tell you my thoughts on this match.
Your girl killed, dude.
The match went perfect. It went exactly the way it should have gone. Ronda got all the offense. Alexa was the cowardly heel, and she destroyed her. I mean, I don't think there should have been anything else, because at this point, for what? You know what I mean? And let's be honest, you know what I mean? Alexa does have a bigger match to look forward to at Evolution. You know, when she can start her career as a legend killer.
Wonder if that's why they released the Trish match announcement ahead of time. Was to kind of give her an out.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Just thought of that.
No, but that match was exactly what it was supposed to be. And I think anything different.
We said this after Money in the Bank, right? That okay, they went back to Alexa. They decided that the heat that Nia got was better served on Ronda. Fine, but then they have to do it correctly. They followed through. So, well done. I still feel bad for Nia. I think she's a brilliant wrestler. And is she injured or taking time off or something?
No, she's probably hanging out with Asuka.
Oh, God. Yeah. Poor Asuka.
Poor Asuka.
more on that later, because, again, it all tied. I've teased this now three times. To the one real big mistake that Vince made tonight, that I found funnier than anything else. But they did this properly. Alexa needed to take a loss like this, and Ronda needed to win the belt like this. And I am super, super psyched for her match with Nikki Bella. I think there are so many really fun matches that Ronda could have. So let's go. Let's do it. I'm excited. The Roman Ronda era.
Yes.
They have updated with Roman's picture, by the way, right next to AJ Styles. Oh, man. What if we get Roman versus AJ at Survivor Series again?
That's Devin said the same thing. Devin was like, oh, my God. He's like, Roman versus AJ at Survivor Series.
So up next, Shinsuke Nakamura defeats Jeff Hardy to retain the United States Championship in 11 minutes.
I thought this way over-delivered. I think I'm going to be the high man on it, but I really liked it. I loved that it was clean and that Orton didn't interfere, because that's what everybody expected.
Yeah, we were worried about that.
I loved that Orton didn't ruin the match. I loved that there was even a cool-down before it of sorts so that I could actually be into the match. I thought the work was crisp. I thought Jeff Hardy had a really good TV match with Bryan a few months ago. And, like, anybody can have a good TV match with Daniel Bryan. But, you know, Nakamura has struggled for me. And this was, you know, obviously not, you know, New Japan-level Nakamura. But I thought he looked really good. I think you know, he's winning. He's got a sense of purpose to him. And this was a good match. And it got carried to very good by Jeff Hardy's unbelievable willingness to kill himself for our entertainment.
Yes.
Running 20 years strong at this point. That was a straight back bump from the top turnbuckle to the apron. Do you have any earthly idea how much that hurts? I don't. I've never done it because I'm not insane. But Jeff Hardy is. And hey, it led to the finish and actually told a satisfying story in the ring that put the champion over. This was a smashing success. And for me, this was actually the biggest surprise of the show. I really liked this match.
I thought that the length was perfect. I think that part of what it worked is that it was under 15 minutes long. I think it would have been more. It probably would have taken to a level where I would have been disinterested. But I was actually interested in the whole match. And, you know, I also enjoyed it. So I think the timing on it was perfect.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way as y'all on this one. Maybe a little less so than you, Evan. I think the end
I really liked it. I know I'm probably going to be the high man on it, but something about it just clicked for me. And as a registered Darby Allin fan, I'm a real big fan of senseless back bumps to the apron.
Well, I was going to say the ending was brilliant in terms of Shinsuke Nakamura came out looking great, and Jeff Hardy came out looking like, you were like, you dumbass. If you had not done that, you might have won the match. Like, that's kind of the feeling you had. So it was like, it worked on all levels, really, the way that match ended. But I liked the match going into. I thought it was a good match. I thought it was a good match, and the ending really, the ending helped a lot. Just put everything together and help both guys come out looking good. And I'm thrilled that Randy Orton didn't come out and screw things up in it, because I think that would have. I think that would have definitely put a damper on that.
Well, that's what everybody expected, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm glad when they subvert the expectations. So big success for me.
Now, the next match went a minute 35 too long. But Finn Balor brought back the Demon King to defeat Baron Corbin in 1 minute and 35 seconds.
I thought this was so great. I was ready to be like, oh man, this is, you know, I'm on such a high from the last two matches. This is going to be so boring. And then the boom, boom hit. And I was like, wait. And finally, for once, Demon Balor wrestled differently than regular Balor.
You stole the words right out of my mouth.
He actually dominated and won the match. Don't you want to see Universal Champion Roman Reigns versus Demon Finn Balor now? I do. I would very much like to see that match, because the Demon actually mattered. Now, is that because he surprised Corbin? I don't know. But damn, that was cool. The whole thing was cool. It was a great little surprise. It's rare that WWE really surprises me. Like halfway into Nakamura Hardy, I kind of figured that if Orton hadn't ruined it yet, he wasn't going to. But, yeah. Like, this surprised me. And, you know, it was a little thing. It was a little match. In the grand scheme of things, it probably doesn't matter. But it was a little moment that these super long shows need to have. And I was really happy with it. I thought it was super cool.
No, and I'll follow up. Like I said, you stole the words out of my mouth. Like, it seemed like the Demon King actually meant something. But the other cool thing is we hadn't seen him in a long time, so it gave it even kind of more of a, like, when he came out and he did beat him in a minute 35, you're like, oh, like, maybe, you know, maybe he is different whenever he gets into this, you know, state or whatever. And I'm not a fan of Finn Balor.
No, I think he's totally mediocre.
So you and I are on the same page on that, but I felt the same way. I kind of marked out for the match because it ended like, it was like a minute 35 and he just beat the hell out of him. And it was, I mean, before the match, I was getting, you know, I was like, oh no. I was like, here's the piss break, like, for mm-hmm. me. Like,
yep.
And it intrigued me enough to pop me some, actually. No, I liked it a lot. And it definitely, I 100% agree with you, especially on these shows that they're now going to have that are going to be like four and a half hours long. You have to have things like this because it shakes it up. It gives you variation. And it doesn't put, you know, it doesn't drag on or really pull you down. It gets you kind of hyped.
I did like the Demon King. I'll say that. I just, if there's anybody I can't stand as much as Elias, the real bathroom break, it's Baron Corbin. So I can't stand either one. So that's why it's like, you know, come on, give Finn something else to do than try to fight a constable.
Well, then wasn't this the case for you? Because I mean, Corbin got destroyed. And now, because he's in this authority character, it doesn't hurt him to get embarrassed like that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, next up, my match of the night, where The Miz defeats Daniel Bryan, and also the longest match of the night. Are you guys surprised that this got the most time of all the matches?
No, because Daniel Bryan is a protected main event level wrestler who always gets a lot of time. I wonder what I would – actually, no. I would have guessed that Rollins would have had the longest match. I think this only beat that by about a minute and a half. So they were – I mean, they were virtually identical.
Yeah, Rollins versus Ziggler was the third longest match of the night.
AJ Joe, I assume, was second.
You guessed correctly. You assumed correctly.
Yeah, those were the three longer matches. God, yeah. This was so good. This was everything I wanted their first match to be. This is one of my favorite feuds ever. Peak SmackDown Live is my favorite wrestling television, period. And Miz's run on that show is one of my favorite things. Miz is to me one of the best wrestlers in the WWE. And to see him get this sort of a showcase and for them to do, you know, such a narrative-based match, I thought was so clever. The way it started with Miz doing all of Bryan's moves, and basically the story of it was, you know, Miz is trying to show Bryan, because what this all boils down to is that Miz has craved the validation that he sees Bryan get instantly. You know, you go back to 2010, and they've explicitly invoked that here. Miz sees this guy who, to him, a guy who isn't a wrestling fan, and this is the character, not the actor I'm talking about. Miz sees this guy, this shrimpy, weird-looking dude, come in and hears the world calling him one of the greatest wrestlers to ever live. And the Miz has no idea. To the Miz, this guy is just some weird-looking punk. And the Miz has worked his butt off for almost 15 years to be jeered and mocked and derided for his lack of skill. And this little kid is going to show up and be hailed with, in Miz's view, not putting in any work. And so for 8 years, the Miz has craved the validation that he sees Bryan being handed on a platter. So it only makes sense that Miz would try to emulate Bryan, because if you're doing it and you get cheered, why can't I have that? Of course, Miz will never admit this. I'm not even sure the Miz character knows this. But everything that he does is driven by the desire to be loved. Watch the Talking Smack promo. Let me tell you about a coward. Who is out here wrestling for the fans? I wrestle the way I do because I have never in my career ever been injured. I'm the one who loves the fans. The Miz wants to be Daniel Bryan, but the Miz can't be Daniel Bryan because he's not as good. And that's the great tragedy of the Miz, and that's what makes him such a great villain. And Daniel Bryan, of course, is the perfect foil here, because Daniel Bryan has had his own tragedy, and he's had his own hard work and his own hardship. And watching Miz taunt him and torture him for years while he sat on the shelf, while he was being told by everybody except Vince McMahon that he was allowed to wrestle, for him to come back and have to confront this guy, and the two of them confronting each other, I thought this was a beautiful start. And of course, Miz wins like a coward. That's how this had to begin. But I thought this was brilliant. I thought Bryan's strikes tonight were really strong. I thought Miz had an elite-level selling performance. for the work that Brian did on the leg. Both of them did great works on the leg. Miz's offense looked good. And this even had a – I hate no-selling in matches. This had a great no-sell because the whole point of Brian of Miz's Brian moves is that they're a pale imitation. And so Brian doesn't have to sell Miz's yes kicks because they don't hurt him because they're not good. Miz got as close to as he did to winning the match cleanly with his own moves, his DDT, his skull-crushing finale, his figure four, not with Brian's moves. And at the end, Miz won by cheating because he just isn't as good as Daniel Bryan. And he can't help himself. His desire to be validated is so strong. He cannot help himself. He has to win because maybe then finally they'll love him. I did think it was a little overlong, and there was a redundancy because the second time they did the yes kick spot was better than when they did it at the beginning of the match. But overall, I love this. I think they have an even better match in them to blow it off, but this was a great start, and this is my favorite feud in WWE right now.
Yeah, I think...
Sorry, that was a pretty intense character analysis.
No, good. And there's a reason I didn't interject or anything, and one of the reasons for that is I wanted you to get out everything you said because I wanted to think on it because I think I'm one of the few people, and I don't know if I was too much of a mark to realize the brilliance of the match. I thought it was a very good match. I didn't think it was a great match.
Okay.
Which is it. I was actually surprised on Twitter, and Devin thought it was a great match. I was actually surprised on Twitter. I was like, dang, people were like throwing, you know, I saw a couple people like, you know, 4 3/4. Like someone said 5 stars.
Tanner gave it 4 3/4.
Yeah, and I saw
someone give it. I was talking to him during the show. I gave it 4 1/4. I thought it was great. I think they have a better match in them. But I thought it was maybe a top 50 match of the year around there.
In my head, I gave it. I gave it like right out of 4, possibly 4 1/4, like maybe right out of 4, but I wasn't as high. Here's the thing. I thought it was a very good match. Like I enjoyed it the whole time. It wasn't like I didn't think. And I realized I even understood everything that was going on. I was like, oh my God, his kicks aren't working because they're too soft. Miz is a soft worker. Like, Daniel Bryan throwing his punches and chopping him up and kicking him up and just going at Miz. And then Miz finally wins with his it's funny because Miz won with his Miz is another guy who I think people kind of feel manufactured in a way. But because he's in a heel form, it's kind of more okay. He kind of won in a manufactured way. Let me cheat. I know the rules of the WWE better than Daniel Bryan. Like, I know I can get away with this, get this, and get a cheap shot. And all that matters is to get the win. Like you said, Daniel Bryan's the better worker, but I'll get the win. You know? But I thought, and it's weird because it's not, I think it's kind of a hot take, but not really. But I didn't think in my mind, and I'll go back and watch it. In my mind, it didn't quite hit the great status. And I actually tweeted afterwards that, oh man, this is awesome. They can build off this. I can't wait till their next match. So I thought it was a very good build-up match to a match that could be even better. That's what I thought personally. I don't know if that's weird. I don't know if that's a hot take. I did like it a lot. Here's the thing. I want to make it clear. I thought it was a very good match, and I enjoyed it the whole time. I don't think I was quite on the level of everybody else.
Yeah, I think that this match... to me, just resonates so much. The story, just, I mean, the fact that they were able to go all the way back to the NXT days of when Miz was Daniel Bryan's coach, and all the way through all the times they've interacted since then. It's kind of like, to me, that's something. And also, look, if you had told me in 2002 that you see the American Dragon wrestling against this little scrawny kid from an MTV reality show, I would have called you insane. And the fact that they were able to come here, tell a great story, put a heck of a match, and one that, of course, has set everything up for, like Evan said, a probably an even better match, and more. This has left me wanting more, and instead of, I hope this was said and let's move on, and if anything, I hope that this will help validate the Miz in some way, where if there's still any naysayers, you know, hating on Miz.
I mean, other than morons like Meltzer, I think people are pretty much on board with the idea that the Miz is a great wrestler. I mean, to respond to Dustin a little bit, this wasn't a banger the way that Miz and Seth had one earlier this year.
Yeah.
Like the Miz Ziggler matches were a couple years ago. But from a narrative perspective, from a story perspective, I thought this was fantastic. And I do think they have a banger in them, but that wasn't the point.
Yeah, we had to get them started. And they got started.
I do want to add one other note to this match, though. I thought this was the worst the crowd was the whole night.
No, I agree. I completely agree. They gave this nothing, and I was embarrassed by them.
Which was odd, and here's why, because I would feel, and I could be wrong, I could be completely off base and not know crowd stuff and everything, and I'm fine with admitting that, but I would think that Daniel Bryan and Miz would be people that they would want to, make sure nobody had any beach balls out during, like,
Bryan, at least, right? I mean, Bryan's their guy.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Yeah, I didn't get this. Bryan's their guy. But Brooklyn is a terrible crowd. Okay, they're an awful, awful crowd. And when they do things that are dumb, I just sort of shrug my shoulders at this point.
Yeah, but I just thought it was odd because, like you said, like Bryan's their guy, and I don't think, you know. And the Miz is a guy who gets reactions.
But like there were moments where Bryan was feeding for chants that were not coming.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what?
It was bizarre. It was totally bizarre. Totally with you. That's a good point. I didn't think to bring that up. That's a good point. It was weird.
I was just going to say, ultimately, I thought very good match. Super excited to see where it goes from here.
Definitely. I look forward to see where this goes again, going on to. So let's go ahead and move on to next. The WWE Championship. Samoa Joe defeats AJ Styles by disqualification. With AJ Styles showing Samoa Joe who the real daddy is.
This was my match of the night. And I'll be honest, I had pretty low expectations for it. I think AJ's title reign has been disappointing. And Joe, to me, is at least I thought, was done. Joe is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. But he had put so much into his body by the time he got to WWE. Yeah, and I guess it just took wrestling one of his best friends in a high-profile match for the WWE title to bring it out of him. Because, my God, Samoa Joe was back. Huh? Oh, my goodness. Some of the strikes in this.
Yes.
Some of the exchanges in this. Some of the kicks that Joe threw. The ST Joe. The Enziguri that knocked Styles off the buckle to the floor.
I literally... when that happened, I like fell out of my seat.
It was his promos tonight on the pre-show with utter menace. And you know what was funny? I saw some criticism about how, oh, well, this is such an intense family feud. Why are they working a lockup? Well, yeah. But on the one hand, coming into the night, this is why this was so impressive to me. Coming into the night, this feud was a dud. There was no reason to do this kind of an angle with Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles. That writes itself. And the go-home angle I thought was atrocious. Just a total flop. And the pre-match promo was dumb. And, and they just ignored it and decided, we're AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, and we're just going to put on a classic. And that's what they did. I thought AJ got as good as he gave tonight. I thought both men were fantastic, and I thought the ending angle took it to a different level. I loved Joe getting on the mic, and that he was the most likable AJ has been in over a year. It's the most likable he's been since he won the title. With him firing up, and then oh my god, when his little girl had the line of the night. Daddy, you're bleeding.
Yes.
I mean, that's that was incredible. I have to think it was natural. I don't think they were asking her to say anything.
No, I think that was legit.
But somebody give Annie Styles a contract. My gosh. Daddy, you're bleeding.
That was awesome.
My god. That hit me. I gave this 4.5 stars. This was a match of the year candidate in WWE for me. And I cannot wait to see what these two do in a cell, because this was violent and physical in the best ways that a Samoa Joe match can be. And if he can bring that level again in a cell match, oh boy, that's going to be exciting. This was awesome.
Yeah, no, you and I are always very similar on a lot of things. And this was my match of the night too, actually. I loved it, especially going down the stretch. Man, they tore it up. And I think it just added to the match. A lot of the times, DQs can take away from a match. If they're not done. If you don't do it appropriately, a DQ can really hurt you.
I thought all of the storyline finishes tonight were good. All of them.
Yeah, but here, for this one in particular, I felt like it elevated the match, too.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
And a lot of the time, that's rare. A lot of the time, I feel like it kind of taints the match or takes away. But I think this actually elevated it. And, God, I'm super excited to see their next match is going to be... or at least if they stay the same, if they pick up where they left off, man, it's going to be one hell of a feud. But love the match a lot. When he did that Enziguri and knocked AJ to the ground on that,
they've done that spot before.
I hopped out of my seat.
I can't remember where. I know they've done that spot before. But Christ.
Man, that was brutal.
This is the first time I've seen it. And it blew me away.
It was vicious. But, yeah, I think you're right, though. I think AJ Styles brings out the best in Samoa Joe. Getting Samoa Joe's viciousness back. And AJ is one of those guys who I think can, especially with the history of those two. And they've kind of
best friends. I mean, they've been working together for 15 years.
Yeah, and their careers have paralleled in the same kind
of... Did you watch the pre-show?
I did watch the pre-show.
So did Joe's promo where he talked about how he's chased AJ everywhere, and every time he shows up in a promotion, he takes the top spot from him?
Yes.
That was outstanding.
Let me tell you something I didn't realize. Here's the thing. Joe, and I might get flack on this. Somebody may bury the hell out of me for this, because maybe it's a hot take. But I feel like Samoa Joe's promos are like, he's got the same Arn Anderson style promo in terms of Joe's kind of this quiet, you know, you see kind of Joe, and he looks like this quiet, he looks like an angry dude.
No, dude, but, I think he's better than Arn Anderson.
That's definitely a hot take.
Don't let Southern NWA Mark Wrestling Twitter get you confused here. Samoa Joe is the best promos ever.
But what I'm saying is, he does that thing from like 0 to 60.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, you know, he's just standing there, and he gets a mic, and then he starts talking. You're like, holy shit! Like, he just gets right in your face.
He and Miz are the two best promos in the company, I think.
But man, so anytime he's on the mic, like I said, it's another elevation tool.
Yeah.
The DQ worked for an elevation tool, and his mic work. And like I said, that's another thing. When you do mic work in the middle of a match or before a match, sometimes, like, if you're not a good mic worker, that'll take away from the match. But it all worked, and I loved it. I'm happy to see where it goes from here.
As disappointed as I was from the AJ Styles Nakamura matches, from an expectation level, myself personally, I thought there was no way these two were going to disappoint me. And I was right. I mean, these two guys know each other so well. It was a wonderful match. Of course, a DQ finished. We're going to get to see him wrestle a few more times, which I'm totally excited about. I could watch these two guys wrestle each other every night. And it would never get old. It's just they have so much chemistry that, you know, the evidence that they know each other for so long, it's easy for them, man. I appreciate I can watch it now. Even though they're much older now, man, these two can still go, and they've proven they're still two of the best. And they're here together in the biggest stage, and they're showing it, and I couldn't be happier. I loved it. It's like I don't know. You guys basically said everything else you had to say about it. I mean, I can't wait for the next one.
They just slipped back into it, didn't they?
Yeah.
They just slipped right back.
Just like old time.
It was 2005 again. Unbelievable. Loved this. And between this and if AJ Joe and Roman Braun are the two cell matches we get, that'll be the most hyped I've been for a WWE show in a long time.
Yeah, that would be awesome. It's going to be fun to have those two. I say if they do that, if they have those as their two main events, I personally think, and Evan, I wonder if you're on the same page with me in this, I think AJ Styles and Samoa Joe should main event.
At Hell in a Cell?
I think that might be what they do. No. Is they have... Roman you don't Braun think so?
Last.
You think so?
Roman Braun is their big rivalry of this generation. I mean, that's got to go last.
No, I definitely agree with you on that, but I was thinking because of the way like it ended tonight.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't think the SmackDown title is going after the Raw title.
No, I definitely agree with you that the Raw title kind of seems to have a little more prestige.
Like, and that'll switch next year when SmackDown goes to Fox, and Roman will probably go over with it. But for now, the Raw title is definitely more important than the SmackDown title. Just look, AJ's run to this point has basically been a long IC title reign.
I agree with you.
If you look at the way he's been positioned on pay-per-view cards. I mean, he is very much the secondary world champion.
Yes.
This was, it didn't matter where this was on the card. This was an outstanding match. One of the best matches. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's my main roster match of the year. At this point, I'm fairly certain that is my main roster match of the year.
And with that, let's move on to the triple threat match for the SmackDown Live Women's Championship. Charlotte Flair defeats Carmella and Becky Lynch to win the championship in 15 plus minutes.
Here we go.
What we've been waiting for.
Who wants to start?
Okay, I'll start. I'll start on this one. First thing I want to say, the beginning of this match. First of all, not a fan of triple threats at all. But I'm also not a big fan of Carmella either. But the first few minutes of this match quality wise, I was not feeling it for the first few minutes. But down the stretch, it got a little better.
Did it?
And I feel like it got a little better. I don't feel like it got a lot better. I feel like it got a little better.
Okay. You're nicer than I am.
And, but boy, I can't think, like, think about going into this match. Becky had her shot. A one-on-one title shot to face Carmella. And then you have Charlotte butt in and basically steal Becky's win at the end of this match. How did you think that was going to go? Like, like,
you know what's funny, Dustin? We talk so much about political hit with Roman and all that. Maybe Vince is just that bad at booking top faces.
I couldn't believe that. I was like,
goodness gracious.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was like, honestly, I don't think Charlotte could believe it either.
You know what, dude? Like, Vince will totally blame that on Brooklyn. I don't care where you are in the world. That crowd would have popped for Becky's turn there.
I'm so happy. I mean, it was set up for that. Like, did you really think that if Charlotte won, it was going to be any other way? Especially with Becky turning on her. Like, did you think the reaction was going to be any other way?
Outstanding.
Like, the way that was set up. I was turning out. I was like, man, they turned Becky even way more babyface than she already was.
Yep.
And then,
well,
Charlotte might be getting the rope treatment.
She finally stopped being Sting. You know, she took matters into her own hands. She stopped just blindly accepting that the world sucks and did something about it. How could you ever not cheer that?
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome. It was brilliant. But like, she was supposed to be booed.
Oh, I know. She was supposed to be booed, and she got, Charlotte, I mean, that.
Charlotte is a 7-time champion in less than 3 years. She muscled her way and politicked her way into the match without having earned it after Becky had won consistently for 3 months to get the shot, and then literally stole Becky's win as Becky was about to win the match.
Stole it.
Sneaking up on her from behind. And she's the babyface.
Yeah.
Freaking unbelievable.
I don't even have words for it. I just couldn't believe it. Like,
and it was the worst match on the show. I thought it was awful. I thought Charlotte was terrible. Multiple moments where she was way late and her timing was terrible. Carmella is just – I think Carmella is super talented. I love her as a manager. She's not a wrestler. She tried her best. She's not a wrestler. And frankly, Becky, while I think she's a wonderful talker and a great character, I don't find her to be a great wrestler. And boy, this was bad. It was really bad. It was really bad. And the way that they finished it, it was hilarious. It was so funny. It was such a great 2010s Vince moment. The good news is heel Becky rules. So.
Oh yeah, I agree with that 100%. Heel Becky's awesome.
Heel Becky's like, terrific. Go back and watch early 2015 NXT if you don't believe us. Heel Becky is the best. And I hope we get to watch her beat up Charlotte some more because she deserves it.
But here's the big problem I have also. Like, man, at WrestleMania, was that the right decision? Like,
no, obviously not. But Charlotte is the golden girl. It was the right decision to break Asuka's streak at WrestleMania. Was Charlotte the right wrestler? No. Of course not. But that's who they're going with. But the problem is, if you're going to go with her, you should probably make sure the crowd doesn't hate her.
Here's the thing. Honest to God, I feel like this moment, like, when that happened, when she stole Becky's win, like, up to that point, like, you could have, like, people were behind Charlotte, or at least a group of people were behind Charlotte. Or people could be behind Charlotte. I'm not saying
disliked.
And I'm not saying she won't be universally disliked now. But what I am saying is this hurts her real bad in that department.
Yeah, it does. And I don't think this is a Brooklyn thing only. I really think that she's going to start getting booed.
Nope. I don't think it was a Brooklyn thing either. I think she's going to start getting booed. I agree with you 1,000% on that.
Yep. I really do think she's going to. I mean, I think Ronda versus Charlotte is still their big match. I still think they should do it, but they need to course correct hard after this. And if you're a Charlotte fan, this was a really bad night for you.
It was a really bad night for Charlotte.
Really, really bad night.
I think the match was fine. I didn't hate it. But I think even though Charlotte won the match, the real winner was Becky. That ovation she got, to me, I thought it was incredible. Did not expect it, but I guess I should have. It's going to be interesting how they try to go with this going forward. But, you know, 15, well, this was the fourth longest match of the night.
Yeah, we got a lot of time. Well, they billed it as a big match for the show. I mean, it was in the promotional material, and like I like that. I like that they're trying that with the SmackDown women because they really haven't done that since the brand split, but it just didn't feel that way. And that was a lot to do with Carmella being champion. And Charlotte versus Becky has juice, but for all the wrong reasons.
Exactly.
So I can't imagine cheering Charlotte over Becky Lynch. I can't do it.
All right, moving on in a minute and 50 seconds. Braun Strowman destroys Kevin Owens.
This was funny, too.
Yeah, it was. By the way, props, I will say this. Props to Kevin Owens for some of his bumps, because holy crap.
It was a flat back bump he took on the ramp.
Oh, that was brutal.
The dude's a nut job. Like, I got a lot of respect in the world for that guy.
God. And on that first where Braun ran and hit him, he somehow managed to like bounce off Braun, then bounce back off the barricade. Like that was nuts. But
I wonder if Owens is taking some time off.
That's a possibility.
Definitely. There's really no reason for him to be around right now, and I'm not saying that because like I think the guy is bad or whatever. Although I've had my ups and downs with him. But I know he's been working hurt for a little while. Doesn't he have a bad back or something like that? Whatever well, it is.
Didn't help tonight, I could tell
you. Yeah, no. I hope he gets whatever it is fixed. He could use a break. He's a guy who's been very overexposed. He's been on TV constantly for over 3 years without a break. He could really – and without much change in his character.
Yeah, he definitely needs a kind of a revitalization.
Yeah, he needs a repackage and a reset. And I think a few months off would really help him. In the way that it helped Ambrose. I think it would really help Kevin. I think he needs to take a break.
All right, so then we're moving on to the WWE SmackDown Live Tag Team Championships. The New Day defeat the Bludgeon Brothers by disqualification, so no title change here. Under 10 minutes.
I really liked it. I thought it was awesome.
I liked it a lot, actually.
Well, you know what it is? The respect to Kofi Kingston for what he's done and for his athleticism. But E. Woods is the best New Day team. And it isn't even It isn't even close.
Devin and I were both watching. We were like, oh, God, please let it be Big E and Xavier Woods. Like, that's like, here's the thing, and I agree with you. Mad respect for Kofi Kingston, especially his time with the New Day really he's been able to.
Kofi Kingston's a Hall of Famer. I mean, the guy is awesome.
But God, man, Woods and Big E, that definitely is the combo there.
Everyone talks about how Big E is a main eventer in a mid-card tag team, and I agree. But I think Woods is a top babyface too. I really do. He's a great promo. I mean, when he went up for the long elbow and then did it off the top of the floor, the whole building stood up.
Oh yeah, that was insane. That was awesome. But the thing about the thing about Woods though is I completely agree. He's one of those people whose wrestling IQ is very high. He knows how to.
He's a brilliant dude. Yeah.
He knows how to work the crowd. He knows how to get his gimmick over. Like his wrestling IQ is very high. I really like this match, and I'll go ahead and say it. The DQ at the end made me angry. But wait, Evan, before you do it, it made me angry, Mark angry. Not angry like when I look back on it, I'm fine with it.
I was mad in the moment. They didn't win. I had the same reaction. I was like, oh, that sucks. But it actually made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I felt the same. I was like, oh, my reaction was like, damn, like that's, and I really wanted to, I was getting behind like New Day big time. I was like, come on, 5-time tag team champs, you can do it. But, so I didn't mind the DQ.
I liked it. I thought it fit the story well. The Bludgeon Brothers have been literally unchallenged for over 6 months. It makes perfect sense that the first time that they were vulnerable, that they were threatened, that they would react that way. That absolutely makes sense. And it gets us behind New Day. And the Bludgeon Brothers were boring because they were invincible. And they were having boring matches. And now there's a wrinkle in there, right? Now we can get back to the Harper and Rowan that we really love. When they were having banger after banger with the Usos. That's what this team needed. That's what this division needed. I thought this match was a huge success for SmackDown. And God bless Big E and Xavier Woods. They rock.
Oh, both of them. Both of them are awesome. And they work well together and for different reasons. When Big E goes on his belly-to-belly tear, I basically get up and just start jumping around. Because it's like the most – he's such a powerful guy, too. He's got so much energy. But – and Xavier Woods with that elbow drop from that was nuts. But I really like that match. I like that match a good bit. And I'm excited to see where things go from here now.
They obviously have chemistry. I mean, I know nothing about chemistry. I don't even think I took that in high school, but they seem to be having that, and it's that part of it is enjoyable, especially because I don't know if anything else excites me at this moment in the tag team division. So I guess most tag teams right now I don't have any strong feelings for. So I mean, if these guys continue to have good chemistry and put up matches that make people happy and everybody's enjoying it, I should keep going. And of course, being another disqualification, which we had a lot of those in this show, leads me to believe they'll be fighting again, more gimmicks and whatnot. So it'll be fun to see. They opened the show, though, with the Intercontinental Championship. Seth Rollins defeats Dolph Ziggler to win the Intercontinental Championship. And is this the first time I've ever noticed Dolph Ziggler had like the belt imprint on his tights?
Yes.
That was weird.
I felt the same way. I was like, that looks very, it looks like, it kind of looks like something I would have made like as a kid. Like having the title, like over, like draw the title on my
tights. That's a big old mark.
But Evan, I'm curious what you thought about this match.
I hated it. Absolutely hated it. I'm so sick of Seth Rollins. I'm so sick of him, dude.
That's actually very interesting.
I'm so sick of him. He has the same match every time out. These two have been given chance after chance after chance, and people pretend to love these matches because you're supposed to love Seth Rollins, and he's the workhorse and all that stuff. But the dude has been coasting for years on this reputation that he was somehow given because Triple H is his guy or whatever, or he's Triple H's guy, and he's just not that good. I mean, watch this match. They do nothing for the first 10 minutes, right? Then the crowd doesn't even like it because they're giving them nothing. And then they pretend they're going to do a knee match. Meanwhile, Seth is out in this supermark Thanos. Oh my God. And then, they pretend they're going to do a knee match, but Seth never sells the knee. So they just abandon it and they start kicking out of apron bumps. And they did this really cool inverted superplex Falcon Arrow or side slam combo or whatever that was like a twist on the superplex Falcon Arrow thing that Seth does that everybody kicks out of. And of course Dolph kicked out of this too, and everybody freaked out. Meanwhile, the whole match is predicated around Ambrose being on the outside, so you know that nothing's going to happen until Ambrose hits McIntyre with Dirty Deeds. And of course the second he does, Rollins wins the match 15 seconds later after I sat through 22 minutes of nothing. Fuck this. This was the worst thing on the show. Because it didn't even have the comedy element of the Becky turn. This was the worst thing on the show. It was a horrible way to start it. And I was convinced we were in for an all-time bad pay-per-view after this match. And I liked, for one reason or another, pretty much everything that came after this. But I hated this. I want Dean to snap and turn on Seth Rollins so badly, so freaking badly. And Dean would have every right to, because the second Dean went on the shelf, Seth started teaming up with Jason Jordan for the titles like nothing happened. And Seth did nothing to earn this. And Seth has always been a snake to Dean. And Dean would have every excuse in the book to drop him on his head. And when he does, I'll cheer the same way I cheered for Becky tonight. Hated this. Hated it. So sick of Seth. And Dolph Ziggler being in this spot in 2018 is a fucking joke.
Well, he is a comedian, or at least he's trying to be one. So what you're telling us is that you didn't like this match at all, Evan.
No, I was not a fan.
You and I differ on that. Now, here's the thing. This wasn't my favorite match by any means, but I got to the point of liking it. And here's how I went. I came into this match. And here's the thing, Evan. You and I are probably the same on this. Like, Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler are two of my, like, they're like the, those two get overhyped to me. I'm like, they're just regular dudes to me.
Yeah. Especially Seth, because everybody hates Dolph now.
Yeah, yeah. But I just see them as regular dudes. And I sat down and I came into the match thinking, like, I literally, especially after the 30-minute Iron Man match thing, I was like, I'm expecting zero. And I don't know if it was because I wanted some fun for the first time in WWE ever, but I popped on a couple of the spots and it kind of got me into the match near the end. So I got to the point where I liked the match. But it's not going to be anything else. It's not going to be a match I'll ever remember. And And I agree with you in the sense of I don't know why these two guys – I know everybody kind of hates Dolph now, but like, I don't know why these two guys are seen or they're supposed to be not even seen portrayed as like workhorse, like top-tier wrestlers in the world. Like, that's very odd. But and I actually agree with you on this 100%. But I wasn't a big fan of – I'm never a big fan of this stuff unless it's done very well. But I'm never really a big fan of, like, a match is going on and then stuff's going on the out on the ringside. But especially not with these characters because I'm not as invested. Now, Dean Ambrose, I'm excited for Dean Ambrose. But and I like Drew Mack a good bit, too.
Heel Dean is going to be awesome. And I mean, you look at that beard and that haircut. He's turning heel.
Oh yeah.
But I really hope we get Roman versus Drew. They've protected it and they've protected him.
No, but ultimately, what I was gonna say is I did like the match. That's probably the thing we'll differ on.
I don't get it. What is there to chew into there? He does the same shit every time.
Let me tell you one thing. After sitting through the Ironman match that we had to sit through, this was an enjoyable match. If you compare it to that stinking Ironman match.
What a bar. What a high bar to clear. Come on, Patrick. This wasn't one of the worst matches of the year. Therefore, it was good. Come on.
I never said it was good. You were asking for a positive take on it. I was trying to tell you where I found a positive take out of it. It's just, you know, it was better than most of the matches that these guys have had. I mean, automatically, I'm tuned out when Ziggler's anywhere near my screen. I actually like Seth Rollins, all right? But I wish that these two were just done with, and I don't know. I really wish that Dolph Ziggler would just go into comedy full time and let him do that. Heck, he can get on a cruise and do that. You know, I hear there's a wrestler that's doing a cruise this summer. He can go too. But yeah, I'm just saying. If I'm trying to find a positive, it was better than this thinking Ironman match. I still have nightmares about that one.
So you were kind of in the middle on it between me and Dustin.
Basically, it's like, you know, it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't. But it was watchable.
Yeah, I thought there were only, including the pre-show, I thought there were only two bad matches on this show. This one and the SmackDown Triple Threat, the women.
All right, so let's go ahead and fly through the pre-show matches. Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega defeated Rusev and Lana. Cedric Alexander defeated Drew Gulak to retain the Cruiserweight Championship. And the B Team defeated the Revival to retain the Raw Tag Team Championships.
I thought both tags were fun. I'm glad the Revival are getting a rematch with that finish. They showed flashes of the old Revival in that match when they were working on Bo's knee. And I think there's something there. And if Ambrose isn't going heel, if we get Ambrose and Rollins versus the Revival, because Rollins is way, way better as a tag guy when his worst impulses can be curbed, that would just absolutely bang. I do want to talk about the Cruiserweight title match. I am a 205 Live truther. It's my favorite WWE show. It has great wrestling almost every week, and everyone should watch it. And if you make fun of it, you're a loser for missing out on it. Drew Gulak is awesome. Drew Gulak is a guy that absolutely should not be in WWE. And I say that from a creative standpoint. Clearly, he's good enough to be in WWE. He's an awesome wrestler. As a wrestling fan, it infuriates me that, I mean, again, I am super happy for Drew Gulak that he is making the kind of money he's making. I hope he's making good money. I don't know how much they pay the cruiserweights. But if Drew Gulak run the indies, he'd be a Wrestler of the Year candidate. I mean, mean, he's that good that if he had the kind of opportunities that a Zack Sabre Jr. has, or a David Starr has, or a Walter has, I think he'd be up there because he is so good. The viciousness of his work on the neck, the intelligence of it, his transitions are so, so good. His strikes, when he doesn't strike often, but he threw a liver punch in the corner early in this match that was just nasty. And I think very highly of Cedric, too. I can't say I've been disappointed by his title run because he's had pretty good matches, but he's just not particularly interesting. But I thought Gulak made him really interesting here. I was kind of disappointed that Cedric retained, although, again, the way he did it says to me that we'll be getting a rematch. So I thought the Cruiserweight title match was awesome. And while I was disappointed with Ali versus Cedric at WrestleMania and thought that the pre-show atmosphere kind of took away from it, I didn't think that that happened here. I thought they got the crowd by the end, and they had a really, really cool match. And if you like this match, please go watch 205 Live, because there are better matches than this on 205 Live all the time. Mustafa Ali is the best wrestler in WWE this year. Go check it out. So that's my little take on that.
And you might know this. I don't know. You might already be familiar with it, but have you watched any earlier Evolves, Evan?
I saw a little bit of it when they did the TNA angle and they were getting all that buzz in 2016, but I haven't really gone through it. But I know Black has some outstanding stuff from those shows. Yeah, I really want to get into.
Hey, I've seen him wrestle at Evolve and in the indie several times live, and he's tremendous. He's exactly, and his character works way better on the indies. Not way better in the sense of, I feel the same way as you. Like, it's almost like WWE doesn't know how to take a character, and his character in particular, and how he works.
He's just a perfect 2010s indie wrestler.
Yes, but
and that is a highest compliment.
Yes, but Gulak and Cedric I liked a lot, and Gulak is a. I feel the same way. Gulak, like the way he wrestles is just awesome. It's just an awesome style the way he wrestles.
He's nasty, and there's purpose to everything he does.
It's nasty. It's gritty. It's hard hitting.
He's had some absolute barn burners with Ali this year, by the way. There's three of them. Two singles matches and then a gauntlet match. And they've all been stellar, that are well worth checking out.
Yeah, but I like that match a lot. I like I like Cedric Gulak a lot. I was hoping Gulak would win, just because I think Gulak being champion would be a really cool dynamic.
I think it might happen eventually. Yeah. I'm not convinced that he doesn't win it by the end of the feud. Although I just want to see Cedric slowly turn heel and then drop it to Ali at Mania next year.
Yes, that'd be pretty cool.
But we'll see.
But I really like that match a lot. I liked it a good bit. The Revival B team tag, I like that match a good bit as well. And in the Revival, I feel like if they can put a Revival, if they can put the Revival in a role, like, or get them a more serious platform and have a banger of a match,
they've got to get them opponents that the crowd respects.
Yes,
you know, like if they gave them Ambrose and Rollins, they would get over. Because yes. They're brilliant wrestlers.
The Revival are so, as a heel tag team, the Revival are incredible. Like if you see them at their best, like they're off the charts.
Oh, great, yeah.
Great tag. Yeah. And if they could just give them a platform and some guys to work with, they need just a moment where everybody in the crowd goes, oh shit, the Revival, this team's crazy. Like, they kind of need one of those moments for them, but I agree with you. You see the flashes of greatness throughout the match. It's funny to see the B team with the tag titles, but I don't really know like, at some point, I feel like you're going to have to get it off of him just because, in a way, at least the way they're presented and stuff, it kind of like.
They're getting lucky. That's the story.
No, I know that's the story.
These two jokers. But right, that limits your ability to take it seriously as a wrestling match. I get that.
And I'm fine with it. I've enjoyed it so far. It hasn't been like anything that I've like, oh God, I hate this.
But. I mean, like if they announced B Team versus Revival for the tag titles on Raw, I'd get excited and watch that. So I guess that's a success.
Yeah, but so I like that match a good bit. Wasn't anything to call home about, but it was a good little tag match. The Rusev Lana. Almost Zelina match. I think I'm a little more down on you. I'm not super down on it, but I kind of felt, and I understand in a way too. Like, I wish the match would have kind of happened. Like, I wish all the pre-show matches would have happened at the 6 o'clock hour.
No, that 5:30 spot is tough. That's a tough, tough spot.
And I feel like it's hard. Here's the thing. I feel like it's hard for the wrestlers to get in it. Like, I kind of felt like when they came out, like, you kind of had the sense of they were kind of like, ah, shit. Like,
no, I didn't get that feel. I thought that they all went out there and put on the best show that they could. Lana is just so green, though, you know, and she's not a natural. Yeah. And Zelina is not exactly, you know, she hasn't. I know she's
one of my favorite wrestlers in the company.
You know, she hasn't been around the block that long. I thought the match did kind of fall apart when they got in. No fault of their own. Almas Rusev exchanges were great.
Oh well, Almas and Rusev are both two of my favorite guys in the company, but I really like Almas a lot.
I hear here, and this isn't a slight on Zelina because I think she's great, but I'm afraid that they see her as the star. And that they're going to either push her or break them up, which would be horrible. But, I mean, if there's really nothing for Almas to do right now, unless they keep this going. But, like, you know, Brian is tied up, AJ is tied up, Jeff is tied up with Orton, and then you still have Nakamura who needs a partner. So there really isn't much for Almas to do right now, unless they call somebody up. But there are no faces that would get called up unless, God forbid, they call up Gargano before ending the story, which I don't think they're going to do. Or they call up Aleister Black. But, I mean, that's already happened, those matches. And they typically don't repeat on the main roster what they were doing on NXT. So
at least not immediately after the
game. Right, not right away. So I don't know. Plus, they've got the mystery detective thing going on with Black. That I think I want to see them flesh out. But yeah, I hope that Almas gets. I loved his match with AJ Styles. I hope that he gets, because I think he's brilliant. I think he's a wonderful wrestler.
Oh, that's great.
Rusev is obviously, you know, I feel like they're almost ashamed that he got over. Like, it's a very know your place bit. You know, they keep sticking him away in these spots, and they gave him the WWE title match at Extreme Rules, which was nice, but, like, you know, I don't know. I thought this was totally fun. I had no problem with it.
Yeah, I enjoy all three of the kickoff matches. They pretty much were all enjoyable. I think they delivered. I love Almas and everything he does, so that's I'm very biased when it comes to them. Cedric Gulak, I think, you have, you know, a huge fan of 205 Live. I love 205 Live. I mean, they, ever since Triple H took over, I think the product has changed dramatically and for the better. And I really enjoy the way that they're presenting it. And, I did not predict the B Team winning this, but, you know, I can't hate it. At least they're doing something with these guys instead of absolutely nothing. So good for them. The whole kickoff I enjoyed. It's one of those times when I actually enjoy watching the kickoff. Sometimes I don't, but yes. So that is it. That is, we just went through all the matches. So it's now time for the final grades.
It's tough because I'm thinking of it within the context of the time that we are at in WWE right now. This pay-per-view was very much needed because I feel like it injected some life into WWE that hadn't been there since WrestleMania. Like it was almost like dead in the water for the past, 4 months. And most of the time, maybe not most of the time, but when you have a pay-per-view like this where there's DQs and kind of some weird finishes, like not completely clean finishes, a lot of the time people will complain and stuff. But I actually think this worked to their advantage because they had nothing going on before. Like WWE has been flatlined for the past few months, and I feel like they had to build up angles and do things in this pay-per-view that were going to inject some life going into this fall and winter season coming up. But and the main reason I said that is from that standpoint, it's like an A+, but I'm not giving it an A+. But from the context of that, it's really done a good job of giving WWE some life. I'm going to go it's going to sound nuts, but maybe not. I don't know. I'm going to go with A-. I was struggling between B+ and A-. I'll go A-. And the reason I'll go A-. Is I didn't feel like anything. Now, Evan may disagree with me on this. I didn't feel like anything was terrible tonight. And the Triple Threat women's match, because of the ending and what happened at the ending, that actually like elevated, like, oh, this is awesome, rather than, oh, that wasn't a very good match, that kind of sucked, Charlotte won. Like, because of what happened, that really boosted that match. And I seem to like the Rollins-Dolph match a little more, or a good bit more, probably. But I'm going to go with A-. I know it sounds nuts, but WWE's been so bad lately that I feel like this pay-per-view might deserve some sort of an A. Sorry for that long overview. Go ahead.
Well, you're probably expecting a lower grade than you gave. And, yeah, I hated the opener. I thought the SmackDown women's match was destructive, frankly. I didn't love everything on the show. But I'll tell you what, I saw on Twitter, while we've been recording this, they released a 3-minute promo of Roman, his first promo after winning the title.
Oh, I've got to check this out.
Yeah, well, I haven't been able to watch this since we've been recording, but they transcribed it on Cage Side Seats. And it's great, obviously. But he talks about how tonight he's just going to go celebrate. He said, "I never thought I'd say that in 1,000 years. But sometimes it's good to live in the moment and just enjoy what you have right now." And then he teases putting the belt up for grabs tomorrow night. Fuck it. Hey.
All right, well, I enjoyed the show overall. I was happy with how it all came out. And I'm glad that you two were able to actually enjoy not only the show, but then actually talking about it afterwards. So I'm actually with Dustin on this one. I'm giving it an A-. It wasn't perfect, but I really enjoyed it. A lot of matches delivered, and I think that there's a bright future ahead the rest of the year. A lot of matchups I'm looking forward to seeing, and a lot of more great shows and a lot of more podcasts. How many? Not sure, but we'll be back again sooner than later. This year for sure.
If they do the two main events that I think they're going to do based off of this show.
Oh, yeah. We'll be back for Hell in a Cell.
So with that, make sure you follow us on the Twitter machine. Dustin is on Twitter at DriveByOutcast. Evan's on Twitter at Evan L. Weston. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. You can check out FOW Radio at FOW Radio. So this was the review of WWE's SummerSlam. Thanks for listening. Subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play. Goodbye. Good night. We're out of here.